That's what we are looking at this morning. What to do when situations are contrary to you? When, what to do when troubles come your way? And those troubles are becoming a burden to you in your soul. What do you do? Do you keep the burden on the inside and allow the pressure to overwhelm you and allow the devil to gain the upper hand over your soul in that situation? Or do you follow God's instruction and turn the table around and put the devil to shame and let God be glorified even in that situation? God has given us instructions as to what to do. Let's begin by looking in Psalm chapter 42 this morning. Psalm chapter 42, and let us pray. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts this morning. We approach your word reverently, and we thank you for the truth that you have prepared for us here this morning, the truth that will help us to walk in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for enlightening the eyes of our understanding and helping us to grasp that which the Father has prepared for us today. And also, we ask you for grace that we might not just be hearers of the word only, but doers as well, so that our profiting may appear to all men. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Psalm 42, I'll begin to read from verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Please notice the word soul there, because we are going to be focusing so much on the soul this morning. What to do with your soul when the pressures of life come against you. Because what the devil is after in you and in me is our souls. That's what he's after. Because he knows if he can gain control of our souls, he can gain control of our lives. Remember, even the people in the world, the devil doesn't mind giving them riches, making them famous, as long as he can get their soul. So many people in the world, they have sacrifice their souls to the devil in order to gain the things of this world. Even the devil tempted Jesus with the same thing, remember? Bible says he showed Jesus all the glory of the world. And he said, just bow down and worship me. I will give you everything. I'll make you the most famous. I'll make you the richest. I'll make you to have everything in this world. Just worship me. In other words, let me rule your soul. So if we know what to do with our souls, we will always win. Hallelujah. It's a very important part of our being. And a lot goes on in our souls. That's where the devil fights the battles against us. That's the battlefield. Many of us No, the battlefield in the mind, because thoughts come against us all the time that are contrary to the word of God. Well, the mind is part of the soul. What's the enemy trying to do? To gain control of our thought processes and then gain control of our souls and then gain control of our lives. Hallelujah. But we must not give him that room at all. Now, verse 2 says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Now, who are the people saying unto him, where is your God? In the midst of his trouble. It's like, well, you are in trouble. What's God doing about your trouble? How many of us have been through experiences like that before? You are in trouble. And you've been doing everything you know to do, but the trouble is still there. And it's like the trouble is saying to you, well, I'm here to stay. Which God is going to deliver you out of my hand? You see, that's the devil for you. He brings troubles our way, and then he tries to mock us. Didn't he get people to mock Jesus? Even on the cross? He said, well, The one that said he will destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Well, come down from the cross then. Oh, if you really are the Son of God, then make yourself come down from the cross. And the people saying those things didn't know they were being influenced by the devil. See, the devil can influence people to speak without them knowing. So the people that were saying to David, where's your God? In other words, look at you. Look at all the mess you are in. And you said you are a worship of God. Where is God now? With all your mess. Well, that's the devil trying to make the situation more unbearable. And many times when we are in trouble, that's what we are thinking. Because the devil is putting thoughts in our minds, well, if God is really on your side, how come you have all this trouble? Didn't Gideon say exactly the same thing to God? Remember when the angel appeared to Gideon and said, hey, you are a mighty man of valor. He said, no, I'm not. He said, if God really is for us, how come we are so poor? How come? Where are the promises that God made unto our fathers, if he's really with us? Well, what was making Gideon to say those words then? That wasn't God. That was the devil putting those thoughts in him. That if God really is with you, how come you are so poor? How come you are even hiding this with that you are threshing? Because if the Midianites see, they are going to take it from you. The devil puts thoughts in us, and we have to understand how to cast those thoughts down and replace them with the thoughts of God, so that our souls can possess the victory that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 3 says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, that's where we are going this morning. When I remember these things, I go and fight them and punch them and beat them up. Is that what Bible says? I go and execute vengeance on them. All the trouble they are causing me. No. Not David. David, a man after God's heart, knew how to walk with God. And you and I must know how to walk with God and walk in the victory that belongs to us. He said, well, when I remember these things, I don't even bother about the people saying, where's your God? I don't bother about the devil causing me trouble. I just go to God. Hallelujah. God is greater than the devil. So I just take the matter to God. And let God be God. Let God be the one avenging me. Let God be the one helping me. I can't help myself. I can't deliver myself. And God says to me, don't avenge yourself, because vengeance is mine. So I'm going to take the burden in my soul to God, because he is the one that will help me in this situation. And you and I also have to understand that when problems and pressures come against us in life and they are trying to overwhelm our souls, we mustn't keep them on the inside. So many Christians are even in depression because they are thinking too much about their problems and allowing them to overwhelm their souls. No, you can't keep those burdens on the inside, because the devil has designed them to overwhelm your soul and crush your soul. You have to pour the thing out before God. You know how it is. You are pressed on the inside. Because when you have been through some trials in this life, you can feel it. You don't need a prophet to tell you. You feel the pain on the inside. But don't keep it on the inside. That pain should not be on the inside. You have to take it to God and give it over to him. You have to roll the cares upon the Lord. You have to cast the burdens upon the Lord. Don't carry the burden yourself. You and I can't carry the burdens of this life. They will crush our souls. That's how the devil has designed them. Now look at what David did then. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I pour out my soul in me. I pour out my soul in me. Ha ha. I pour out my soul. All the pressure, all the pain, all the emotional stress on the inside, I take them to God and pour them out before God in prayer. I don't keep them on the inside, because they will rob me of my peace, they will rob me of my joy, and they will rob me of my health and well-being. A merry heart does good like medicine. Isn't that what the Bible says? But a sad countenance dries up the bones. You see, the devil knows the Bible. So he knows if he can get my soul into depression, it will rob me of my good health. And that was why David, when he realized what was going on in his soul, he said, I'm going to pour it out before the Lord and also say to my soul, don't be depressed. Hope in God. Because with God on my side, I'm a winner. I will have cause to rejoice and praise God even in this difficult situation. The devil may intend it for evil against me, but God knows how to turn it around for good. Isn't that right? God specializes in taking what the devil has designed to mess us up and turning them around for our glory. Didn't they try to mess up Joseph? The devil tried to mess up his dream. Use his brother to try to mess the dream up. But the devil didn't realize he was helping Joseph to fulfill the dream. At the end of the day, even Joseph said to his brothers, when the dream had been fulfilled and now his brothers were trembling before him, he said, don't worry, don't be afraid. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So who has got the victory now? God. Who has the defeat? The devil. We have to understand these things. With God on our side, we are always winners. We all quote Romans chapter 8 verse 28 all the time. And God, and we know that all things work together for good. Don't we quote that? But then when we're in trouble, it's like we are sad. Oh, this trouble. This is not good for me. But then we quote the scripture. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God can work the things that the devil intends for evil against you and work them around for good for you if you allow him to. Only God can do it. You can't do it yourself. That's why even in Romans chapter 8, it starts from verse 26 by telling us that the Holy Spirit must help us in our infirmities. And when the Holy Spirit gets involved, it can turn those things around and make them work together for good for us. Hallelujah. So when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I love that. My soul, don't be depressed. My soul, don't be discouraged. Put your hope in God. And you and I must learn to speak to our souls in the midst of troubles. Because the devil is speaking to us, saying, where is your God? I got you where I want you now. I've cornered you. No way forward for you. Where you say to your soul, my soul, believe God. My soul, remember, with God on your side. If God be for you, none can be against you. My soul, remember that you are more than a conqueror in every situation. You have to encourage your soul. Encourage yourself in the Lord by the word of God. You have to do it. You have to do it because the devil is trying to bring your soul down. Don't allow him. Fight the good fight of faith and say to your soul, my soul, you are a winner in Christ. My soul, you are an overcomer in Christ. You have to learn to speak to yourself. Speak to your soul. Don't keep quiet and allow the devil to just oppress you all day long. And then you are sitting down hitting the bread of sorrows and the devil is laughing in the corner. No, let the devil be the one having the sorrow. You rejoice in the Lord. Count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, Bible says. And if you are going to do that, you have to learn to say to your soul, hope thou in God. Hallelujah. Let's go on to Psalm 62. So remember, David said, well, I'm going to pour out my soul before God. In other words, I'm going to pray. I'm going to take the matter to God in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. That is the key. I'll just take it to God in prayer. Like that great hymn writer says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You see the key? Carry everything to God in prayer. Don't try to carry it yourself. You can't. You can't carry these things on your own. The devil doesn't bring the trouble that you and I can handle on our own. Those troubles are designed to overwhelm us. But when we take them to God in prayer and cast the burden upon the Lord, we feel the peace, we feel the relief, and God can handle them for us. Hallelujah. God wants us to walk in the peace that Jesus has brought for us. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. In other words, this peace is different. It passes all understanding. So keep it. Don't let the devil rob you of it. Hallelujah. Psalm 62. From verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. In other words, don't let your soul wait on the troubles. How do you let your soul wait on the troubles of life? By meditating in those things that are contrary to you. That means you are waiting on your trouble. When you think about the trouble all day long. Instead, wait upon God. Go to God in prayer. Meditate on the word of God. And let your soul be in communion with God. And then you'll be able to have encouragement from God. Rather than the discouragement that the devil is bringing to you by the troubles he has brought against your life. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. I love this. Look at verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now let us read verse 8 together. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Hallelujah. Now look at what the psalmist David is saying here again, encouraging every one of us as God's own people to pour out our heart before him. He's encouraging us not to carry the burden ourselves. He's encouraging us to take those burdens to God and give them over to him in prayer. Pour out all the pressure that is on the inside of you. Pour them out before God in prayer. Don't leave the pressure on the inside. Because the pressure is designed by the devil to crush your soul. To overwhelm you. and bring you into discouragement, bring you into depression, and bring you into all kinds of emotional feeling that will not help your life. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a sad countenance dries up the bones. Don't allow sadness or sorrow to dwell in your soul. When they begin to come, pour them out before God in prayer. Hallelujah. Because as the redeemed of the Lord, Bible says, joy is our portion. The redeemed of the Lord, the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, Bible says, with singing. Everlasting joy. You see, that's our portion. Everlasting joy. Not temporary joy, but joy forever. So don't allow sorrow to have place in your soul. Because Bible says sorrow and sadness shall flee away from God's own people. Now, again, it says, trust in Him. That is the key. Trust in God, even in the midst of your trouble. Trust in God. The devil doesn't want you to trust in God. He wants you to complain and blame God when you have troubles. Because he knows that when you complain, God won't help you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when you are complaining, you are not in faith. All the children of Israel that left Egypt, the adult generation that complained, they all perished in the wilderness. Not one of them made it to the promised land except Joshua and Caleb, who did not complain. Bible says they had a different spirit. Their attitude was different from the others. Well, you better work out your own salvation too. Don't copy people. Don't follow the majority. Just say, well, I'm going to follow the word of God. Bible says, I must not complain, so I'm not going to complain. I may not understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, because none of us has full knowledge or full understanding of our problems. But one thing we know is what God says we should do. That's all. Well, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but God tells me what to do in this situation, so I'm just going to focus on God and do what He says. That's all. That's all. I'll work out my own salvation. I'm not going to complain. Instead, I'm going to pray and thank God and praise Him in the midst of my troubles and my tribulations. Hallelujah. Just trust in God. Trust in Him at all times. Don't trust Him only when things are going fine, according to your expectation. Trust Him when things seem not to be fine. Trust Him that He is your Father. He is with you. Has He not promised never to leave you nor forsake you? He said, when you pass through the fire, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, you will not drown, because I'll be with you. How come we forget scriptures like that when we're in trouble and we feel like God has forsaken us, and then we begin to complain, God, why did you allow all this to happen to me? After all, I've been faithful to you. Well, you're not getting ready to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus was faithful to the Father, yet He suffered many things here on earth, didn't He? And He said, the servant is not above his master. If they persecuted Him, they will persecute us. If He suffered, we will suffer too. We just have to focus on God and take the burdens to Him in prayer. Let's also turn to Psalm 142. Again, the key is to bring those things to God. Don't allow them to dwell on the inside of you. The pressures of life are real. When we are in trouble, we can feel the pain. We don't need a prophet. And nobody really can understand what you are going through except you and God. Someone may tell you, well. Yeah, you know, don't worry. Just take it easy. But they don't really feel it like you feel it. But thank God we have somebody who can feel it like we feel it. His name is Jesus. He really knows and understands better than any man. And that's why when we're in trouble, when our souls are under pressure, what we need is God to help us. Because man can't help us. Man doesn't even understand what we are going through, really. But thank God for Jesus. He knows. He can feel it like we feel it. And He also knows how to help us, because He's been through it before. He's experienced in the matter. You know, people talk about how experienced they are in the world. How long have they lived on this earth to say their experience? We are talking about Jesus. Jesus, who has been from the beginning, Well, that's a really experienced one. You better go to him and let him help you. Oh, Psalm 142. Praise God forevermore. Psalm 142. From verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Well, some people think when they're in trouble, all they need is to look for somebody to pray for them. Well, you better start praying for yourself first. You better start praying for yourself first before you then have somebody, please stand with me in prayer. Because if you are just depending on people to pray for you and you are not praying, the person you are asking to pray for you may even forget or fall asleep like like Peter, James, and John. Jesus said, well, tarry here and watch with me. They just fell asleep. So if Jesus wasn't praying for himself, if he was depending on Peter, James, and John, he would have missed it. So you can ask people to pray for you, don't get me wrong, but you must be doing the praying yourself too. Then their own prayer is just to support your own prayer in the spirit of agreement. Hallelujah. So the psalmist said, well, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord, did I make my supplication. Now look at verse 2 again. I poured out. In other words, I'm not going to keep it in. I will pour it out to God. Don't keep it in. It will crush you when you keep it in. It will overwhelm you when you keep it in. Pour it out in prayer to God. Don't go pour it out to man. If you are going to pour out your soul to any man, let that man be a spiritually matured person. Because if you just go and pour out your soul to anybody, any so-called Christian, they will be the people that will gossip about you behind you. And they will add more pain to your life. Before you know, they would have spread all the things you said all over the place. Oh, bro, did you hear what is going on with this, bro? It's in a really bad situation. Oh, God have mercy. That's not what you want. You want people to be supporting you with prayer, not spreading bad news about you and causing you more pain and more sorrow in your situation. You already have enough pain. You don't want people to add to the pain. You want relief, not more burden. So don't just go and pour out your soul to anybody. Pour it out to God. Pour it out to God. And if you need prayer of agreement, then look for somebody who is spiritually matured, who will keep your secret secret. And you can hold them in confidentiality. Hallelujah. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I love that. If you are waiting for man, you will wait for long. And I just go to God and don't waste your time. Oh, God have mercy. Hallelujah. It's the truth that sets us free, you see. It's the truth that sets us free. Glory be to God in the highest. Let's also turn quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 1, scripture upon scripture. We see the same thing. Pour out your soul before God. Take the matter to God in prayer. Take the burden to God in prayer. Roll the cares upon God. Don't leave it on the inside of you. Because if you leave it on the inside, it will overwhelm you. You take it to God, pour it out. You don't want the pressure building up on the inside. Pour it out to God. Pour it out to God in prayer. pour it out to God. Hallelujah. First Samuel, chapter 1. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Oh, God is there for us all. You and I have help in God. We don't lack help at all. So let's not look to the hand of flesh. Let's look to God. First Samuel, chapter 1. We all know the account here of Anna, who was childless at this point in time. But the other woman in the house had children for her husband, Elkanah. But you see, the husband didn't really understand the pain that Hannah was feeling. When the countenance of Anna was down, the husband said, "Why is your countenance down? Why? Am I not better than many children?" I tell you, the man didn't understand. That's why I said, well, nobody really understands what you are going through. So only God knows. Well, let's look at that before we look at what we are looking at. Verse 8 says, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, 'Anna, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?'" Ah, no, 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 no. That's not the right thing the woman wants to hear. The woman is feeling the pain, the reproach of childlessness. And then the other woman is mocking her in the house, adding sorrow to her sorrow. Oh, I tell you, Elkanah didn't understand what she was going through. Couldn't feel the feeling. And he said, well, I'm better than 10 sons. The woman said, you know I want my own son. You are my husband, not my son. I want my son. I want to carry baby in my womb and remove the reproach of barrenness from my life. That's why nobody really knows how you feel in your situation. Only you and God. But thank God Anna knew what to do. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Heli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. You see the key? Bitterness of soul. The soul was bitter because of the emotional strain. But she knew what to do. She didn't keep the bitterness on the inside and let that eat her up like cancer. You know, even scientists have found out now that most people that have cancer, the reason they have the cancer is because of emotional disturbances. Some of them have anger that they've stored up, and that caused their cancer. So they are discovering what the Bible has been saying all along. So many diseases that scientists call diseases of unknown causes, they are caused by emotions, emotional distresses. And that's the way the devil has designed it. And that's why you and I, as Christians who know the truth, we don't keep those things in. We take them to God in prayer. We pour them out before God. Because if you keep it in, it will begin to heat you up like cancer. And rob you of your health. Pour it out before God in prayer. Go to Shiloh. I can't. Oh, God have mercy. Hallelujah. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Heli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed. That's what you do. When you have bitterness on the inside, pray. Don't go and fight in the flesh. Don't go and curse the people that are causing you the pain. They say, I'll curse them. No, God said, don't curse them. Bless them. Oh, Lord have mercy. So she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but we give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Heli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Heli thought she had been drunken. And Heli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Again, no man knows what you are going through, really. Only God. Even the priest missed it, you see. Verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. You see the key again? Pour it out before the Lord. Pour the bitterness in you out before the Lord. Pour the sorrow in you out before the Lord. Pour the disappointments in you out before the Lord. Pour the discouragement in you out before the Lord. Pour it out before the Lord in prayer. Don't keep it in. Take it to God in prayer and pour it out before him. Hallelujah. Now let's begin to round up by going to the New Testament. You see, all that we have been seeing in the old, we find also in the new. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't keep the burdens within yourself. Take those burdens to God in prayer. Hallelujah. In fact, before we look at Matthew chapter 11 and hear directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, let us turn to 1 Peter. Because what we read in Psalm chapter 55, or maybe we haven't read that before here today, but what we read there, if you go to Psalm 55 and verse 22, where the psalmist said we should cast our burdens upon the Lord, we find Peter, by the Holy Spirit, saying exactly the same to us under the new. That's to tell us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Our God never changes. So old or new, God is still the same. Now look at what it says there in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In other words, don't carry the cares of this life on your own. Cast them upon the Lord. To cast something means to take them from yourself and throw them upon someone else. In other words, you literally shift it off of your own shoulders, off of your own life, and roll them upon somebody else to carry for you. And God can carry all the burdens without feeling anything. But you and I, we carry one burden alone, is already putting us down. Oh, God can carry the burdens of every one of us all together. Glory be to God in the highest. There is God for us all. Hallelujah. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus, the head of the church, says this unto us all. It doesn't matter what your troubles may be. It doesn't matter what my troubles may be. Jesus said we should all come to him. Hallelujah. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is our Savior. Always there for us, to help us. But how many of us go to him when we are in trouble? Many of us, when we are in trouble, we sit down, pity ourselves. Then also look for some people to pity us. And then when we don't get people to pity us, we get more angry. And we begin to criticize them. And they say they are Christians. They don't even care for me. Well, did God say you should look to the hem of flesh? You are the one that is missing it. Everybody has their own burden, you see. Maybe they even have bigger burdens than you. You don't know. And then to take it to God in prayer. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all, not some, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, when the burdens, the troubles, and the pressures come against your soul, Jesus said, bring them to him. Come unto me with all those burdens, and let me take them from you and give you rest in exchange. So that instead of the trouble, you have rest. I take the trouble, I give you rest. Well, I don't know about it. That's a good exchange. That's a very good exchange. You mean I can take all this pain, all this frustration, all this anger and disappointment, and Jesus will take them from me while I'm praying. And he will give me rest. Well, that's good. Let me go to him then. I want the rest. I don't want the pain. I want the rest. So he can take my burdens from me and give me rest. But many of us, again, don't go to him in prayer. We sit down all day long, nurse our wounds, feel sorry for ourselves, look for people to feel sorry for us, and then even sometimes blame God. Or not being faithful to us after we've been faithful to him. God, why are you allowing all this to happen to me? And I've really been faithful to you, God. Why? Well, but I don't think those thoughts, just take them to God in prayer. We don't understand everything, but we know one thing. God is good all the time. And he's there for us always. Finally, Hebrews chapter 4. And then we're going to pray this morning before we go. We're going to act upon the word of God. Just take your burdens to him in prayer. Pour out your soul before him. Hallelujah. See, the word of God is something we must act upon. We don't just hear it alone. We do it. Isn't that so? If God says, well, pour out your soul before me, then you better just do it. I say, God, you said I should pour out my soul before you. I'm obeying you and I'm pouring out my soul before you. I'm not going to keep this burden on the inside and carry the pain myself. No, I roll the cares upon you, like you said I should do. And I trust in you that you will help me. You will give me rest. You will take the burdens from me. You will give me the victory. You will bring relief to me in all these areas of my life, just as you have promised to do in your word. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's just read it from verse 14 for the sake of time. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let's pause for a minute before we read the next verse, because that's where we are going to pray this morning. Now, Bible is saying that we all have a high priest, a great one for that matter. Not a natural one like Aaron that lived and died. We are talking about a high priest that has eternal priesthood. A priesthood that is there forevermore. Because he has conquered death. He's alive. Jesus is alive. A great high priest was passed into the heavens for us in order to be making intercession for us. Because the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So we can go to him in our time of need, because he knows exactly what we are going through. He's been through it before. He carried all the sins of the whole world on the cross, including your own and my own. He carried all the handwritings of the ordinances that were contrary to us, nailed them on the cross. He carried every trouble that the devil could cause everything, cause any one of us in this world. He carried everything, nailed them to the cross. That's why the Bible says he has redeemed us from the curse. You know, part of the curse is that the soul that sinner shall die. Jesus has brought us redemption. So he can feel what you are feeling. He can understand what you are going through. And he knows how to help you. Because he's been through it without sinning. In other words, he has succeeded. He went through what you are going through and passed the test. So, well, I don't know about you. That's the experienced person I need. Now someone will just be there and say, you're such a good person, you know. I wonder how bad things happen to good people like you. Well, would that help me in my situation? It's not pity I need now. I need solution. Only Jesus can give that to us all. Hallelujah. You know, there are some well-meaning people. They try to comfort us in our affliction. That's good. But then they really can't get us out of the thing. Because only God can. Now, verse 16. Let us therefore, that's the key now. Let us therefore, again, we pour out our souls before the Lord. We take the matter to him in prayer. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What we really need is the help. We want the solution. We want the relief. And that is going to come from Jesus. But to get it, we have to go with boldness of faith to the throne of grace. In other words, go in prayer. Go to God in prayer. And then the grace you need will be ministered to you by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Like Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, remember? He said when the messenger of Satan was buffeting him, he cried unto the Lord 3 times. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. He prayed, and God supplied him with grace to overcome. Well, there is grace for you to overcome this morning. There is grace for you to have the victory that you need this morning. No matter the affliction, no matter the trouble, pour out your soul before the Lord in the name of Jesus. So I encourage you to do that for the next few minutes, and then we are going to pray the prayer of agreement together. But first, talk to God on your own. Let him hear your voice. You know what you are going through. You know what you are going through. Someone else may not know. But you know, and God knows. So talk to God in the name of Jesus. Go to him by faith and say, Lord, I bring my troubles to you. All the pain in my soul, all the disappointments, all the frustrations, oh Lord, I bring them to you in prayer. Because you said I should bring them. And I'm obeying you. Oh, I bring them to you. I roll the cares upon you. And I ask you in the name of Jesus to help me. Give me the grace that I need to overcome in these troubles that have come my way in life. In all areas, in the name of Jesus. So go ahead and roll the cares upon the Lord. I tell you, that is the way. That is the way. That is the way. And you simply do it by faith. It's not by your feelings. You do it by faith because the word of God says to do it. So you do it because of that. And you trust God. You trust him with all your heart. That if you act upon his word in faith, he will not fail you. No wonder the Bible says, don't worry, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Just roll the cares upon him. He is faithful. He knows what to do. You may not know what to do. I may not know what to do, but thank God he knows what to do. And he knows how to give us the victory in the situation. He knows how to turn the things around for our good. He is faithful. We simply do our part. We obey his voice. We bring the matter to him in prayer. And we leave the thing right there at the throne of grace. And God takes care of it. And we receive the rest unto our souls. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. Behold the cries of our hearts before you this morning. As we come to pour our hearts and our souls out before you in prayer. In obedience to your word. No matter our circumstances. No matter our afflictions. No matter our adversities. And our distresses that we are faced with in this world. You are the God of our salvation. You are our refuge. You are our very present help in trouble. And so we trust in you with all our heart as we roll the cares upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for helping us as you promised with every one of our soul's desire this morning. We give all the glory to you, Lord, for your intervention. For the turnaround in everyone's circumstances, according to the good pleasure of your holy will, that our joy may be full in you. You said we should ask and we will receive, so that our joy may be full. Thank you for fulfilling your own side of the covenant as we stand our ground before you in faith and access your grace that is sufficient for us in the time of need. In the name of Jesus. Amen. While we are still in that prayer attitude, let's turn quickly to Psalm chapter 20. We are going to use that to pray the prayer of agreement with one another. Oh, thank God we can touch and agree together. Bible says, if any two shall touch and agree together, concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. Of God our Father, we say never. So again, we pray unto God with our voice. Then we can pray with one another in agreement. Hallelujah. And that's what we're about to do now, Psalm 20. This is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. It's so powerful. If we really want to reach out in love to one another, it is one of those psalms that we must constantly meditate in and use to pray for one another. This is part of our calling as Christians to pray for all saints, not just for ourselves alone, because everyone in the body of Christ is going through one affliction or the other. That's just the truth, as Bible says. Our brethren are faced with the same afflictions that we are going through in the world. Nothing is peculiar to any of us. We all have troubles to face in this world until Christ comes. But then we are to watch and pray for one another. Hallelujah. So let's read Psalm 20 together. And thank God for fulfillment of these promises, because we release our faith in the word of God as we prayerfully declare this verses of scripture in Psalm 20 for the benefit of all our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ everywhere this morning. In Jesus' name, let's go. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth is anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Hallelujah. Ha kapronish kondoso. Oh, hallelujah. We call to you, Lord, in the spirit of agreement. We call to you, Lord, that in your mercy, you will hear the cries of everyone in your church this morning. The cry for help. The cry, oh God, for your intervention in various circumstances that are contrary to your will for us. Oh, we look to your might. We look, oh God, to you and you alone. For you alone are the source of all the help that we need. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, our comforter. You are the river of God that makes glad the city of God. Thank you for flowing the streams of divine help and comfort to every one of us in the body of Christ right now, in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray in other tongues for the next couple of minutes and let the river flow out of our bellies. As Jesus said, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. That is the river that brings us refreshing. That is the river that brings divine help to us. That is the river that brings us victory and success, because it's not by our might, it's not by our power. It is by the Spirit of the living God. Go ahead and speak to God in your heavenly language for the next couple of minutes in Jesus' name. Hangro sekala mahanda. Oh, probo sekelebo ke probo konde haya. Oh, gredoro samante probo kunde la brokunde yalahante. Shie kato prebehe leboko probo konde leheya. Libro mosa me kapromongo de senke. Kelelelele bohoto bake probo konde he. Rieba soto feke. Liema Keto krodo no semla handaya. Ah, pare gende lebronishko. Lebromo kapromongo do suffering kiliante. Oh, mrangiriesko menahanta. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for times of refreshing flowing to us from your glorious presence this morning as you intervene in everyone's circumstances to give us the victory. For greater are you, Holy Spirit, who is in us than the devil that is in the world. In the name of Jesus, Serahiata, le credonosa, le credonosa, prabokonde, le probo sacredonosa, veletanta, regondo so probocante le brokina, liebosa, liebose menahanta. You are the Spirit of liberty. As it is written, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Many may be the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver him out of them all. Thank you for liberty this morning. Thank you for deliverance for every saint of God out of all manner of afflictions in all areas of life this morning. For we look to you, Jehovah, in whom is our everlasting strength. Thank you, mighty Holy Spirit, for the divine help that you render to us all. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to him and thank him this morning. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Oh, there is help for us in God. There is help for us in God. Our help comes from God who made the heavens and the earth. We don't look to the hand of flesh. We don't rely on ourselves. We don't try to solve our problems by our human ability. We take it to God in prayer. And we trust in him with all our hearts. We do not lean on our own understanding. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Thank you, Almighty God, for helping us all. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forevermore. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, keep thanking him as we receive the announcement and the offerings this morning. Just keep thanking the Lord. That's how to do it. Don't keep the burdens on the inside. Pour them out before God in prayer. And may the Lord keep you and uphold you by his right hand of righteousness, now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen.